This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. Have you ever been surprised by the amount on your medical bill or had trouble even understanding what it says? While a trip to the hospital can be difficult, sometimes what follows can feel even more challenging. How do you sift through all that paperwork and decipher the bills? Joining Cincinnati Edition to discuss is National Patient Advocate Foundation Director of Outreach and Public Affairs, Caitlin Donovan. She joins us via Skype. Welcome, Caitlin.
Thank you for having us to be here.
If you have questions or comments or want to discuss your experience with medical billing, give us a call, 513-419-7100. You can also email talk at wvxu.org or find us on Facebook or Twitter. We'll look for your comments and your tweets and try to get some of those into the show. Caitlin, what do people tend to find as the most difficult part of understanding a medical bill?
Well, the system is really opaque. I find most of the time when people are looking at a medical bill, they're not looking at any real explanation for what they're being billed. They're just looking at one big, large number, and they have no idea where it came from.
So you say opaque. Is there a reason that the billing process appears to be complicated?
Well, the reason is that if it's complicated and hard to not transparent, then people don't contest it, and places can keep charging you high.
So I'm hopeful that you can help us with some medical billing terminology. Can you tell us what upcoding is?
Sure. I'll give you a good example to start. I took my son to get stitches, and most of the time when you go into a hospital for the ER, you charge what's called a facility fee. And this is the first fee you are charged when you go into a hospital, and a lot of times it's the largest number on your medical bill. That facility fee is not a stagnant number. A lot of times it's on a scale from 1 to 5, depending on the severity of your injury or illness. Now, my son was 3. He had a cut. He needed stitches on his forehead. And we went to the first hospital. Long story short, the plastic surgeon never showed up, and we left. And the only thing that first hospital did was take off his Band-Aid and put a new Band-Aid on with a little bit of Neosporin. And on a scale of 1 to 5, 5 being the most severe, they ranked it as a 3. And that's what I would call upbilling or upcoding, because clearly taking a Band-Aid off of a wound like that, but it needs stitches wound, is not a level 3 facility fee. But hidden in the justification for that 3 was that they used a liquid medication. And that is what I like to also refer to as kind of adhering to the spirit of the law, the letter of the law, rather than the spirit of the law. And you have to be really careful with that, because we have now a whole system of professional billers whose job is to try and get as much money out of the system through patients as they can. And it happens really often nowadays.
So if it's kind of, I wouldn't say skirting the law, then if you characterize it as just being not in line with the spirit of the law, it's not illegal.
No, it's not illegal.
So how would a patient identify
this? There's also just a lot of human error.
Okay, please go on with that.
A lot of times people are looking for really nefarious reasons why things are coded the way they are. And we find that most of the time it's a mistake. People are incredibly valuable. And ultimately, at the end of all of these bills you see and these reports that come out, there are people out there who are trying to match up doctor's notes or trying to use a system they may not be that familiar with. And mistakes get made, which is also why people should be really diligent about going over their bills, asking for itemized bills, and looking for errors, because chances are in your medical bill, there probably is one.
So how would a patient go about identifying what could possibly be an error?
Well, the very first thing to do, because one of the most common errors we see, is people getting a bill before through their insurance. And this happened to me really recently, so I can testify to this. And that's just when your doctor doesn't submit the bill to insurance, submits it directly to you. And most of the time, a lot of people will just pay that without realizing that they didn't actually owe that full amount. That's not the doctor's office trying to pull one over on the patient. That's just them making a mistake. And it happens pretty frequently. That's like a very, very common mistake we see, and it unfortunately happens to a lot of people. So the first thing to do is check and see if gone through your insurer yet. Wait for what's called your explanation of benefits, or your EOB, to see what you owe and what your insurance actually paid for.
What about the term?
The next thing to do is just ask for an itemized bill.
Okay, and that will give people an opportunity to go piece by piece on what they're being charged for.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yes, mm-hmm. And make sure that there's nothing in there that you didn't actually receive. Things slip through. Maybe anything as simple as them charging you for medication you brought into the hospital yourself, to just a completely wrong procedure showing up on your bill, like, I don't know, a broken arm when you were in there for a cardiac injury, like, service. You know, it can be anything. But keep in mind while you're doing this that hospital billing, medical billing is incredibly complex. And it can be easy to pick out an error, and it can be difficult because it involves sometimes our professionals going through a couple of different websites and checking different codes and seeing if the code has even been modified, which is an incredible other layer of complication to the process.
There's another complication as well known as unbundling. Can you tell us what that is?
Mm-hmm. Some hospital payments, especially when we're talking about inpatient versus outpatient, are known as bundled, which is, for instance, if you go in for maternity care. In some hospitals, under some insurance plans, you'll be charged what's called a bundled price for all services within standard labor and delivery. One way for hospitals or other providers to charge more would be to unbundle it and charge for each individual, which almost inevitably is going to cost a lot more money.
So there are some other practices that could still surprise a patient, even though they're legal as well, such as a surprise medical bill. I read that definition mm-hmm. as being when an out-of-network provider involved in an in-network care service it provides a service, but the patient didn't know about it. Or also something called balance building, which I read is when a care provider doesn't like what the insurance reimburses and then bills the patient for the remainder of that fee, though that's not legal in every state. How does a patient prepare for those types of instances when they come after the fact?
Well, first, balance billing and surprise billing are almost interchangeable terms. And depending on where you live, like you said, it may be legal or it may not, or certain types of it may be legal and certain types may not. So the first thing to do is to check and see when you get that bill if the provider can legally charge you for it. And this can get complicated, and there are plenty of resources out there where you may be able to ask for help. For instance, you live in New York, balance billing, when you didn't make the plan ahead of time, for instance, if you go to the ER and you're in an in-network hospital and an out-of-network provider sees you, you would not be held liable for any balance or surprise bills. And there's other great stuff into that law too, such as if you check with your insurer's webpage ahead of time, or you talk to your insurer and they tell you that provider is in-network when turn out to be out-of-network, you should not be held liable for those charges, which is a great way of making sure that patients are given access at least a little bit to accurate information, which is incredibly hard and unreasonably do nowadays. You can find really information through your insurer. Sometimes hospitals themselves can't tell you which of their providers is in network with your plan and which isn't. So any extra layer of protections the patients can get can be really, really helpful. If you get a balance bill in the mail, sometimes it's worth calling the provider himself and talking to them and seeing if you can negotiate down from that price. We always encourage patients to be brave and try and negotiate. People are often really reluctant to do so, but we urge you to do it because it actually is normal and it could save you a lot of money.
513-419-7100 is the number to call to join this conversation. Let's check out the phones now. We've got James on the line. Hi, James.
Howdy.
What's your question or comment?
So just a comment. There's actually, Richard, regarding the negotiation of bills. So there's a company, you can look it up online, I guess I'm not supposed to give the names, but based in California and have some ties to the Cincinnati community, but where you, it's a service provided for free that you can upload your medical bill, and they have trained professionals that will call the service provider and negotiate the bill down. And I think the only requirement is just an optional tip that you can give for the service. But it's an app that's online. It's rolling out. I don't think it's nationwide, but it's starting and growing just to provide a benefit
James,
to consumers.
We appreciate that tip very much. Thanks for calling. The number is 513-419-7100. The Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition On Demand. Did you know you can have the show delivered straight to your smartphone every day? Just go to your favorite podcast listening app, search Cincinnati Edition, and subscribe. You'll be able to keep up with all our great conversations with newsmakers, public officials, and other interesting people from the greater Cincinnati region and beyond on the go, anytime, anywhere. It's great for those days you can't tune in to catch us live. Weekdays at noon on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. How to deal with sticker shock and hard to understand medical bills. That's our topic today. We continue now with National Patient Advocate Foundation Director of Outreach and Public Affairs, Caitlin Donovan. She's now on the phone rather than Skype. We're hoping this sounds a little better. Caitlin, thanks for sticking around.
Sure. Glad to be here. I hope this works.
It works great. 513-419-7100 is the number to call if you'd like to weigh in on this conversation. You can also email your questions or comments to talk@wvxu.org or find us on Facebook or Twitter. We'll look for your comments and your tweets there and try to get some of those into the show as well. So we're talking today about the actual billing of patients, Caitlin, but what role is cost in general playing in healthcare confusion for patients? Is there more or less sticker shock these days than, say, in previous generations?
Oh, there's definitely more sticker shock nowadays. The inflation that has been going on in healthcare is unprecedented in this country. There's a lot of factors that contribute to that, but rest assured, what we're paying now for our healthcare is exponentially more than our parents were or their parents.
I did a simple search online for examples of healthcare sticker shock, and there was a report in Vox from a couple of years ago that talked about a California couple who went out of their insurance network for their young daughter's MRI, and they were billed $25,000. More than $4,000 of that was just for anesthesia, more than $2,700 for a recovery room, $16,000 for the scan itself, which, by the way, only took 30 minutes, and the insurance only picked up $1,500. So I think about a luxury hotel suite in Cincinnati, and that can be rented on peak nights for just hundreds. This recovery room was more than $2,700. Is there an option somewhere to see in advance how much we can expect to be charged at a hospital?
Almost no. Almost never. The Trump administration is actually trying now to roll out some measures to introduce transparency to our system. But unfortunately, what we always say is that transparency doesn't work by itself. We can make all these prices available ahead of time, but the problem is the prices, there's not just one price for any service or hospital room that any patient is going to be charged. Every patient is going to be charged something different. So that's the first problem. The second problem is that insurers don't want their negotiated prices with these systems to be revealed either. So we have kind of different layers of what the charges are. There's the charge master, which is this enormous made-up number that's supposed to be the general charge for any service or drug or anything else that's provided at a hospital. And then they have what's called the negotiated rate with all the different insurers, Medicare, Medicaid, Aetna, Blue Cross, whatever it is. And then there's what the patient himself actually pays out of pocket. And all of these numbers are dramatically different. And for patients, what matters to us is, of course, what we're paying out of pocket. What matters to the system as a whole is what everyone is being charged. And there's a lot of difference and a lot of fluctuation everywhere. It's almost impossible to find anything out. And even if nowadays you can go to your hospital and you're supposed to be able to look up the charge master price, for 99% of patients, that charge master price doesn't mean a thing.
We got a message from listener Balaji, who called and said that Medicare and Medicaid say hospitals and providers should post prices for common procedures. I'm curious whether when someone receives a bill that they determine to be outrageously expensive and or unanticipated, how they go about negotiating it down. You had mentioned this earlier that maybe it involves some courage, but how do you initiate that conversation?
Sure. Well, the first thing to do is obviously to make sure that the bill you received is the correct bill. So as we talked about earlier, making sure that your insurer has paid whatever their share is, making sure that everything on the bill is at least correct and for services you actually received. And the way you do that first is asking for an itemized bill and going through it piece by piece and comparing it to that explanation of benefits to make sure they match up. Once you've exhausted this process, that's when you should call, say, your hospital billing office and talk to them about what you can afford and what you think a reasonable price for you to pay is. Because oftentimes, and way too frequently nowadays, your insurer is just not covering enough of that price. Either it's because of balanced billing or because your premium and deductibles are so high, or your coinsurance, which is when instead of a flat rate, you're charged a percentage of the cost of the service. You can be left with a lot of liability. So then you should talk to them. Our case managers use a couple of different resources as a starting off point for negotiation. There's a lot of places you can look. You can look for the Medicare rate, which is posted and available. You can look at the Medicaid rate, which might be overshooting a little bit because most providers consider that to be a little low. And you can also look in different other resources, things like Healthcare Blue Book, which is an online resource, and Fair Health, which is also available online, and you can find them through simple Google searches. And they'll tell you what a reasonable rate for these procedures should be. Now, when you go to your provider and ask them if you can negotiate and if you can offer this rate, you might get told no, and you have to be ready for that possibility. But they may be willing to negotiate with you because ultimately, keep in mind that they want to be paid. They don't want to wind up holding the entire bill for this, which often happens. So if you go in good faith and say, I can afford, and we highly recommend people do out their budget ahead of time and know what they can afford on a monthly basis, and you can say, I can afford this much equaling this amount total, you might be surprised at how willing they are to work with you. At a very minimum, you could get a discount off of what the bill you first received is, and that's great. If they don't offer you any sort of negotiation or discount, and we recommend calling back and seeing if you can talk to different people, but if ultimately you run into a brick wall, they still will offer you ways to budget and pay piece by piece instead of just saying you owe us $30,000 by next week.
So what happens when you look at your bill and you think, this is so unexpected, it's so high, you've already tried to negotiate, it still remains so, and you want to dispute it. You don't want to pay what you've been billed. Are there any rights that you have?
It depends on where you are in the process. Every insurer has an appeals process, so if you're still working through your insurer, usually you get what's called like two internal appeals and then one external. And that might vary a little bit from insurer to insurer, but that's generally the case. And it's a process. It will be outlined to you, and actually Patient Advocate Foundation has sample and template letters people can use. They're free on our website as you're going through the appeals process. So you are entitled to that. It may work out for you if you can, especially if you can bring your provider in to contest that the charges were fair and that they should be paid more and take the burden off of you. That will be very helpful. After that, if you're left alone to negotiate with your provider and you're dealing with a billing office that doesn't want to negotiate, unfortunately, there's not much you can do if they are following the law, which is why we are working so hard on behalf of patients to try and change the law and to kind of give patients more protections around cost and around medical debt because right now patients just don't have enough.
We'll have links at WVXU.org in the Cincinnati edition section if you want to learn more about this process. I want to thank Caitlin Donovan of the National Patient Advocate Foundation for joining us today. Thanks, Caitlin.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition. The producer for today's show is Pete Reitmeier. The assistant producer is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. I'm Michael Monks. Subscribe to our podcast at WVXU.org.